Welcome to the MSDW podcast. I'm Jason Guppert, editor at MSDynamicsWorld.com. On this episode, we are talking the current state and future outlook of Dynamics GP upgrades with a couple of GP veterans. Tim McHale and Pamela Turner of Innovate are my guests. They're part of Innovate's GP services team. Innovate is the sponsor of this episode, and Tim and Pam tell us about their team and its responsibilities, as well as what's so important about GP upgrades today. There are technical considerations, but they also explain why staying current on GP is so important for your organization's future IT readiness, whether that's a move from on-premises infrastructure to the cloud or a move to a cloud ERP solution in the future. We also discuss the latest news on GP's future, and Pam and Tim share some customer anecdotes. Okay, well, Tim, Pam, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So I thought we could just start with a bit of information about Innovate's upgrade team and your roles on it. Could you each maybe tell me a little bit about yourselves and what you do there and about your role in the team itself? Tim, do you want to start?
Sure. My name is Tim McHale, and I'm the practice lead for the Microsoft Dynamics GP and SL pods here at Innovate. We call them pods. We can get into that a little bit later if you want. So our GP team currently has 12 full-time consultants with years and years and years of experience. Most of our consultants have over 20 years of experience working with Microsoft Dynamics GP and the very large list of ISVs that are available to bolt on to Dynamics. The vast majority of our team we've worked together for many years throughout different company mergers. I personally have been through, I think, 5 or 6 company mergers throughout my career. But the fact is that the team, the 12 of us, have really worked together for a long time. We've developed a great rapport and we work very well together. Let me tell you a little bit about the team. The team is broken up into 3 pods. Each pod has a delivery service lead. So basically, my role is the practice lead, and then we have a delivery service lead for each of the pods that we have. We have a functional pod, which basically does all the functional work within GP. Joe Grillo, who again has 20 plus years of experience, is the delivery service leader for that pod. We've got a development team. The development team is the team that scopes out and writes all the customizations and integrations. I am, in addition to being the practice lead, the delivery service lead for the development pod. And then we have a technical pod. Basically, this is the team that Pam is on. And this team is led by Lori Larson, who, again, has 20 plus years experience working with GP. In addition to the 12 full-time consultants, we have some very talented contractors to assist as needed, especially around manufacturing. We've got a ton of manufacturing customers, and we've got some really good contractors who help us out around the manufacturing. So as a GP practice, we have roughly 1,600 GP customers, more or less. And over the years, we have developed a good rapport with a lot of these customers because we have touched so many of them between all of us. I personally, my background, I have over 22 years of consulting and leadership roles within the GP product. And I personally have done hundreds, maybe even thousands of GP implementations over my career. I don't do, unfortunately, too much consulting anymore since I'm the practice lead. And I will tell you, sometimes I miss it. I enjoyed consulting. I still try to do some of it, but it's a passion of mine working with customers, and it really is a lot of fun. Personally, within the GP products, I have expertise in the financial, the distribution, and I am the loan expert. Are the loan consultant with expertise in the field service modules within GP here. And I've pretty much worked with most all of the third-party ISVs and am well-versed in a lot of them. Pam, do you want to go?
Sure. My name is Pam Turner. I'm a technical functional consultant, and I'm a member of the team that Tim mentioned does the upgrades. also server migrations and disaster recovery. I've worked with many clients over the years. I have 24 years of experience with Microsoft Dynamics GP products, Microsoft technical products, and many related ISVs. I'm passionate about GP and passionate about my customers, and I want to help them progress and, do the best with their GP products.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to both of you. One of the things I took away from planning as we were getting ready to record today's conversation was just how busy you seem to be. I mean, and Tim, you touched on it. 1,600 GP customers, and obviously the world of GP is even a lot bigger than that still. How busy is it out there these days in terms of what GP customers need? Where do you see the needs being, and what are they asking for these days?
So our customer base is roughly about 1,600 GP customers. We also have about 500 SL customers. The GP technical team, along with sales, is constantly touching base with our client base, working with the customer base to educate them on the benefits of being on the newest version of GP. Some of the factors, and we are extremely busy right now with our upgrade team. I'll give you an example. The month of September, the practice as a whole, we were 85% chargeable, which is fantastic. Our goal is to have the team at 75% chargeability, and we've hit 85 for September, and I think it was 80 for the last quarter. So we have been extremely busy. This group here probably hit 90% chargeability. Some of the factors around that, well, probably the biggest one that we had was for compliance with Microsoft's modern lifecycle. If the customers want to stay current with Microsoft support, then they must upgrade each year. And I'll let Pam jump in and talk a little bit about that and the factors behind that.
Sure. So the modern lifecycle, the updates are usually, they're every year, basically. The versions are changing at this point every year. So for an upgrade, as an example, if we've got a customer that's on GP 2013 and say SQL 2012, you would have approximately 6 hops to get current on GP 18.5. So, that makes it important to keep up with that modern lifecycle. You really should be doing your upgrades yearly. Also, in terms of the cost of upgrades, it helps if you're upgrading yearly because there's not, the hops are less. But let's say in that example that I gave, if you're on an older version like that, you would have to usually have at least one, what they would call mid-step server. And then you would have your, final server that would start out as your test server. So you would have probably an update to that GP 2013 to get you to a more current version of it, or build. Then you would have to upgrade to GP 2016. From there, you would have to go to GP 18.3. Like I said, there would be a server. You'd have to go to a different version of SQL in between that. And as part of this, all of the ISVs are having to be upgraded as well. From that point, you'd upgrade from GP 18.3 to 18.4, and then from 18.4 to 18.5. So, that's kind of the upgrade process if it's an older upgrade. And, that's why I think the lifecycle is important. It's also important for, complying with Microsoft's policies, for supportability, basically. They support older versions, but, the expectation is that you're going to stay current.
And I'm going to tell you, we have, believe it or not, we still have clients that are on old versions like GP10, and we keep trying to get them to move forward to get back into compliance. They've been out of compliance for a long time, but we do get pushback. But for the most part, most clients, they understand the modern life cycle, and they understand the need to upgrade yearly. And again, as Pam said, if you're moving from GP 13 to 18.5, which 18.5 basically got released in October 1st of 2022. It just came out. Within that, the release, there was new functionality, there were bug fixes and security updates. But if you are going from 18.4, which got released last October, it's a very minor jump, a very minor upgrade. Again, that all depends on the complexity of their environment, around customizations, integrations. But for the most part, it's not a big deal and not a very expensive deal. If you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and as Pam said, if you're on 18.3, well, you've got to make multiple jumps. And basically, the jump started from 18.3, you go to 2016, or 2013 to 2016. After you've done that, you got to go from 2016 to 18.3. After that, you would restore databases because now we got to put it on SQL 2019. Then we go from 18.3 to 18.4, and then one final jump to 18.5. So you're talking five jumps to go from 2013. That's where it gets a little bit more pricey, a little bit more expensive, because the customer has not kept up with it on a yearly basis, as Microsoft is expecting them to.
And some additional points. So Microsoft, as of October 1st, 2022, they are doing away with basic authentication. So that affects many products. Some of those are Exchange Active Sync, POP Email, IMAP, Remote PowerShell, Exchange Web Services, Offline Address Book, Outlook for Windows, and Mac. In addition, they're disabling SMTP authentication in all tenants where it's not being used. This decision that they've made, it's going to require customers move from the basic authentication to the modern authentication. That's the newer. Modern authentication, it uses OAuth 2.0. It's token-based authorization. It has many benefits and improvements that help mitigate the issues in basic authentication. An example of that is OAuth access tokens. They have a limited usable lifetime, and they're specific to the applications and resources for which they're issued, so they can't be reused. Enabling and enforcing multi-factor authentication is also simple with modern authentication. And, you know, everyone at this point, I'm sure, is familiar with multi-factor authentication. It's part of everyday life, I would say. And then also there are government changes to federal forms that require, you know, upgrades. And that's part of the life cycle as well.
And Jason, the reason we've been so busy, and really it started back in January with the upgrades, and we've been busy right through today, a lot of that has to do with the deprecation of the basic authentication on the Exchange for Office 365. Because any customer who was on a version of GP that was GP13, and I forget the exact specific one, you may know that, Pam, the exact version of GP13, but anyone that was on that needed to go up to 2018.3 to be able to use the email functionality within GP. And what I mean by the email functionality in GP, GP has the ability to set up your email, and it allows you to be able to create purchase orders, create quotes, send them out in bulk in PDF format, right from GP to the customers, to the vendors, be able to email any kind of functionality you want out of GP. That was all going to come to a stop if the customers didn't get up to 18.4. And basically, right now, since 18.5 just got released, we are actually pushing them to go to 18.5 right now. Now, a lot of our customers we were able to reach out to, and we got them upgraded over the last 10 months, but October 1st came pretty quickly. We did reach out to every customer that we have and let them know that was happening. But of course, we had customers who either didn't get it for whatever reason or didn't move on it. And we're not the only ones across the board, because Microsoft actually released a patch to extend through the end of the year of 12/31/2022 to be able to make sure that they're all in the most current version. So that they did give some flexibility there. But yeah, that's been the bulk of why we've been so busy the past 10 months with our upgrades.
Yeah, so nothing like a little bit of urgency and technical limitation to sort of force people's hand a bit. Because I know that GP, and I think you maybe alluded to this, but I've seen in the past, you know, some GP customers are pretty reticent to move or change anything if they don't have to. But also I've heard just anecdotally from GP customers over the years that they feel like they can't move because of one reason or another with, you know, whether it's an ISV solution that they rely on that they're not sure about, you know, its updates, or I don't know, some other reason. Let me ask about the ISV question. Are ISVs these days sort of all up to sort of support for modern lifecycle versions of GP? Is that still a barrier, that the way I used to hear it?
It's a barrier. Yeah. And all of the ISVs, when a new release gets released for Dynamics GP, they have 90 days to come, like it's always been, to become compliant with that new version. So yeah, that does put a delay on doing upgrades for customers who have third-party ISVs. We really can't do the upgrade for GP until those third-party ISVs have all done what they need to do to be able to release a patch, so that it works with the latest and greatest. And again, at this point, it's 18.5. So if you look at it that way, 18.5 got released October 1st. So January 1st is the deadline for all of the ISVs to be in compliance. So some of the customers may not be able to upgrade until, you know, January, based on that.
I mean, how are ISVs doing with that kind of timeline?
I think a lot of them are pretty quick. Pam, what's your thoughts? You see that more than I do.
I think most are pretty quick. You don't have to wait long. There are a few where, you know, they kind of take a little longer to release their update, but most get them out fairly quickly.
I want to ask about the perception, you might call it, of GP's future when it comes to current customers and the modern lifecycle. You know, it's funny, we just before this conversation, a few weeks back at this point, Microsoft gave an update on sort of the GP roadmap and its future. It caused a lot of discussion, especially at the Summit North America conference, where sort of the latest updates came. And, you know, not to go into the full detail of kind of how that played out, but my overall take was that after all was said and done, the GP roadmap was presented, Microsoft sort of stance on GP support and updates going forward was presented. Not much really changed. If I could sum it up, not a lot is really any different. The modern life cycle that you both explained very, very nicely here continues. ISV support continues. But I mean, would you add anything else to that in terms of have you had to have further conversations with GP customers to sort of, I don't know, clarify what is and isn't happening? Or do you have any other ways that you're explaining sort of what the future is coming out of that event?
Yeah, as far as what happened down there, I haven't had any customers reach out yet and ask, you know, what happened and what the question or what was going on down there. Now, I will say, when I heard that, and there was an email that came out from, we had a large presence down there. I wasn't able to be there, but we had a large presence down there. We had a booth and we had a lot of people presenting. So there were a lot of us from Innovate were in the general GP session when this was stated. So basically,
and
Microsoft
said, you know, we're not going to do any more feature updates for GP. That was sort of the initial statement, and then they sort of clarified it later to explain it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. And from what I understand, that happened in the general GP session.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
Basically there was three parts to that. They gave away awards, and then Terry Healy, and this is the kicker, Terry Healy went on And she did What's New training and showed everybody in the room What's New for 2018.5. And Terry also restated what we've been hearing right along, that new functionality would be released yearly through 2028. Then I guess what happened was Mike Morton, the VP of SMB applications for Microsoft, got up and he talked about BC, and that's when the statement came out where basically he had stated there'd be no new functionality. They would support GP through 2028, but that there'd be no new functionality after the current release, which just got released October 1st. And they'd only be doing tax updates, regulatory updates, and security updates, which kind of contradicted what Terry Haley had just said 10 minutes before, from what I understand. So, yeah, there was a meeting later Wednesday afternoon, and everyone got together and kind of talked with the Microsoft executives. And basically on Thursday, Mike did send out a retraction, basically stating that he misstated what the way he put it. And the way what he said was there's going to be no more big new modules going in, which honestly, we've known that for, I've been working with this product for over 20 years. There hasn't been any big new modules added to it, I'm going to say, in the last 10 years. Just these small features that they roll out, these, as was planned before, these are going to be bug fixes, tax updates, and any new features through 2028, which is basically what they've been saying all along. I can say this, Innovate owns the code now, and we are tasked from Microsoft with maintaining the code through 2028. I talked to that team and nothing has changed. We are definitely committed to rolling out, the yearly updates with new features, along with fixing bugs, security patches, tax updates. And I can also say that Innovate is committed to our GP customers to continue supporting their current ERP system. And at the same time, we're committed to working with them and teaching with them, if they're interested in moving off of GP, and how they can go from GP to Dynamics 365 Business Central.
That's such an interesting point, because it's almost been like it's almost imperceptible. It probably is imperceptible that code management is now with the Innovate team. But it also kind of makes sense when you hear updates on GP roadmap. Often, last time I heard a new feature update, I think it was from people on the Innovate team who used to be, on the GP team at Microsoft. That's good, and that's good to know, I think, for our listeners as well, to sort of understand that point. All right. Well, I want to maybe talk about some of the highlights from, I know that you recently sort of presented on a lot of the findings or a lot of the details that you talk about with upgrades for customers. I know we've talked about some of them, some of the ones that are really kind of forcing GP customers to really take action and upgrade so they don't sort of lose functionality like email authentication. But when it comes to thinking, as you were talking about Business Central upgrades or just staying current with sort of other Microsoft technology, can you talk about some of the areas there where GP customers are, I guess, most interested to sort of learn what their options are? Obviously, a BC migration is one of them, but I think of things like, further investment in other Microsoft cloud technology, Office 365, perhaps, other advantages to staying current with GP today for your future plans.
Sure. One thing is, if you keep current with your version of Dynamics GP, that's going to pretty much force you to stay current, or at least somewhat current, with your version of Windows, also your web browsers, Edge, Chrome, primarily Edge, and these are also things that that are required for BC. Email, TLS 1.2, 1.0 and 1.1 were basically, they're no longer compliant, so you want to have those turned off. And as of October 1st, Microsoft actually decommissioned, I'm not sure that's the right word, but TLS 1.2. So that affects Office 365. Also, there are VBA around TLS 1.2 and around Office. So those are things that are impacted and you want to stay current, basically. current with GP and current with your Windows and SQL Office.
What about when it comes to costs? I mean, how have costs changed, or cost management, I guess you might say, changed for GP customers in sort of the current era of modern lifecycle and all that goes along with it?
Yeah, well, as far as estimating costs and the factors that influence it, obviously there's every GP install can be different. We have some customers who have, I think we have one that has 700 different GP databases. We've got others, you know, that have one or two GP databases. We've also got, and we do a lot of this, and we have done a lot of this in the past, where you have GP customers who had, you know, 50 or 60 databases, like, because they're, each one of those was a legal entity. But we sell and we implement a lot of the multi-entity product from E1, which then condenses all of those databases into one database where they're still able to be all legal entities. But really the things that come into factor when you're costing out an upgrade or a migration would be size of the databases, the number of databases, any ISV products that they have bolted on. Obviously, the GP version you're coming from and the number of hops to get you to the most recent version. Again, the version of SQL you're on and the number of hops in the SQL server to get you to the most recent version. And probably the biggest one is we've got a lot of customers who are highly customized. We've written probably 90% of the customizations for them. We have that all in a repository. So we can go back at any point when we're going through the review of the customer and coming up with an estimate to do the upgrade. And part of that is to estimate the cost of the upgrading the customization and also integrations. The bulk of our integrations are written with a tool called Smart Connect from E1, which uses eConnect technology. And that's another big factor as to the cost of the upgrade. So again, those are the big things: would be size of the databases, number of ISV products, the number of hops they had to do, both GP and SQL. And then how customized are they, or how many integrations have been developed with other software that they use.
And another note on that, when I mentioned that, you know, the example of upgrading from GP 2013 with SQL 2012, that actually was 5 hops. But I mean, if you take, you know, let's say you have a lot of databases, each of those databases take time, and you've got multiple, you know, 5 different hops with that example, you know, that's going to add to the cost. So that's another reason it's a good idea to keep current.
When it comes to a lot of hops like that, are customers typically looking to just keep that sort of deployment on their own servers, or by new ones if it needs support for newer technology, or do you often take those kinds of customers to the cloud?
I see many customers moving to the cloud. We have customers that have on premise as well, but I see customers moving to the cloud more often now than ever before. So you know, like, it may be migrating to a server that's in the cloud, a hosted server. I think that's the one I see probably more often lately.
So the 3 big things that we're pushing with sales right now are looking at GP and SL customers and talking to them about upgrading and why they should upgrade. So that's one of the big ones. Another one is basically when we're talking to these customers about that, if they have the servers on-prem, we talk through and give them the details and the benefits of moving their servers from on-prem up to either the private cloud or the Azure cloud. And that's another part of why we have been so busy. We're not only doing upgrades, but we are doing a lot of migrations, getting customers away from their on-prem servers and putting them up in the Azure cloud. And our third big incentive for customers is the ones who are feel that they're done with GP at this point and or SL is showing them the roadmap and why it would benefit them to move from GP and SL to BC, which would be the Business Central.
Sure. Well, boy, with the kind of utilization rates or, that you were talking about, 85% plus, I mean, that's a pretty intense workload for your team, I'm sure. And maybe I'll segue to that to sort of starting to wrap things up, because I don't want to keep such a busy team on the line here for too long. Anything else you did want to mention before we wrapped up here? It's been interesting to hear your perspective on what a busy time this is for yourselves and for so many GP customers.
The only thing I would like to say is we get a lot of feedback from customers. And of course, you every now and then you get some negative feedback. But for the most part, I'm going to say this team gets a lot of positive feedback, and the customers are extremely happy with our work and the time frame. And we usually come in under budget on most of our projects. We've got, you know, gold star standards that we put together and we built over the last 20 years on how to do an upgrade. Every upgrade in every environment for every customer is built exactly the same. It makes for anyone who can step in from the team and know exactly, you know, what the environment looks like. It also helps with our support team, because the support team knows that no matter what customer it is, they know where to go and how the environment's going to look. I'd love to give one customer anecdote, if you don't mind. Not here really quick. Okay, so this came from a customer, and basically they wrote to me and said, "Tim, I would like to take a few moments to share our experiences with Lori Larson." Lori is the delivery service lead for the team. She was not 100%, but 1,000% on the ball with our conversion and did everything to perfection. She kept Enovate's team on task and covered when other people were not keeping up with their role. Lori was always positive and willing to find the fix, expert, and solution to any of our challenges that came our way. We would highly recommend using Lori again and anyone on that team for our next upgrade. And I get things like this all the time. It's great. I love seeing this. When I get things like this, I push it up to ELP, the executive leadership, so that they can see it, because it's always nice to get good feedback and knowing that our team is really going above and beyond to give the customer what they want and a great experience.
Certainly knowing that GP customers are in good spirits is also nice to hear, even as you're so busy. So yeah, thanks for sharing that. All right, well, I think we can end things there. Tim, Pim, thank you both so much for your time today.
Yeah, and thank you for having us.
This has been another episode of the MSDW Podcast. My thanks once again to Tim and Pam for joining me today. And now this message from Enovate. For more resources from Enovate, check out the GP team's recent blog posts, including 5 Reasons to Upgrade Dynamics GP. The links are in the show notes. And that's it for this episode. If you want to reach me, you can send me an email, jgumpert@msdynamicsworld.com. And please do follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter for all of our updates. Until next time, this is MS Dynamics World, signing off.